Hello, and welcome to Save Game Chronicles, where two friends of over 20 years play a retro video game and then talk about it. I'm John, and...
I'm Justin.
All right, so before we get started, let's talk about what brought us into gaming. Justin, let's start with you. What got you into gaming, and what is your favorite video game of all time?
What got me into gaming? I was 6 years old, and my parents brought home a PlayStation with Space Jam and Need for Speed, and those were my first two games. Growing up, I mostly only played platformers or racing games like that because it's what I knew. Around the time I was 10 years old, I played Kingdom Hearts, and that got me into a bunch of other types of games. So I would consider that my favorite game, even if I wouldn't say it's like the best game I've ever played.
Nice, okay. So what would you consider the best game you've ever played?
Don't have a favorite if you're going to ask me that way.
All right.
But what about you? Do you have a favorite game?
Favorite game? Honestly, I'd say my favorite game is probably Final Fantasy X. But that's not what got me into gaming. I would say my first game might have been probably Sonic on the Sega Genesis. It was my dad's system. And then he let me play it, and yeah, I got into it that way. Then they brought home a PlayStation for me for Christmas, and I had Jurassic Park, The Lost World, and a demo disc. Yeah, and I think I've been playing games ever since then. So, alright, so, time has come. The first ever game, and hopefully not the last, of Save Game Chronicles is Final Fantasy, the original, just Final Fantasy. So, a little bit of overview here is Final Fantasy is a role-playing video game that was created and published by Square Enix, formerly known as Square, for the Nintendo Entertainment System. The game was initially released in Japan on December 18th, 1987, and later in North America in July of 1990. I wasn't even born yet. But the key figures behind the creation of Final Fantasy 1 include, and I'm going to butcher it, the name Hironobu Sakaguchi? And if you want to correct me, feel free to.
I'm pretty sure that was correct.
Who served as the director and designer, and Nobu Uematsu, who composed the game. I know that the person is like well-known, and I just butchered the name. And then Square, the company responsible for the game, was facing financial difficulties at the time, and Final Fantasy was a risky project that Sakaguchi believed could be their last game. The name Final Fantasy itself reflects this sentiment, as it was intended to be Square's final attempt in the gaming industry.
Yeah, and the game went on to become a classic. It definitely didn't fail. I mean, it's a turn-based RPG, follows a group of four warriors. You name them yourself. They didn't have any preset names then yet. You choose your own classes. John can correct me if I'm wrong. I think there were four different classes you start with.
Yeah, I think so. What was it? Warrior,
Thief, Black Mage, and White Mage.
Yep.
I think.
Yeah.
And you're just told that the princess of the main town had been captured, and the king asks you to go save her from a former knight of his named Garland.
They didn't really explain it. He just kidnapped the princess.
But yeah, the game follows it's a very basic story. You don't get much of it. You're just told that the world needs the blessing of these four crystals that have become corrupted. So you basically travel around the world map in the game to purify the crystals. As far as I know, there's not really even a set order you have to do it. It's when you get to a crystal, you have to fight a fiend or a monster that Garland had left to guard it from the Warriors of Light, the four heroes you play as.
I think there actually is a set order. Like, I want to say that if you do one of the four crystals, you have to do before the other one, before the other location like opens up. In terms of impact on gaming, Final Fantasy 1 played a crucial role in popularizing the RPG genre both in Japan and internationally. Its success laid the foundation for the long-running Final Fantasy series, which has been one of the most iconic and influential RPG franchises in the world. Call back to me saying that my favorite is Final Fantasy X. The game emphasis on narrative and character development, combined with its immersive world and strategic turn-based battles, influenced the design of countless RPGs that followed. Final Fantasy 1 is often credited with helping establish the RPG genre as a major force in the gaming industry. Yeah, Justin, you want to tell us about the story?
As far as story, there's not really much of one. We keep talking over ourselves and getting caught up. To be honest, the game kind of just sets you free and you're expected to explore the game map, which is fine. That's how a lot of games back then were.
Have you ever played the game? Like outside of this time, or is this your first time?
This was my first time playing the original Final Fantasy, and just full disclosure, before we do cover a game on the show, we do replay it or play it for the first time, so both me and John have completed the game. There's not much story to talk about. It really is just explore, find your own way if you're not following a guide, and purify the crystals, and in what's become normal for Final Fantasy, get confused but still win the game.
Yeah, I mean, now they did come out with Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins. I think that's pretty new. You played it, right?
I did play it. I don't remember when it released, but I believe it was about a year and a half ago, like spring before last, if I remember right.
Yeah, because I played it shortly after beating the first one, and I would say that does expand the story. It's kind of, without spoiling it, it does give more context to the story of Final Fantasy 1, and it shows up more later into the game itself of how they're connected. But yeah, I would say, yeah, Final Fantasy 1's story, yeah, it doesn't really have a major storyline in the form of, you know, like their modern games. As you said earlier, you fight the four. What are they? The crystals? What are they called?
The fiends that guard the crystals.
Yeah, so you fight those, and what is the point of fighting those? Do you remember?
From what I remember, the exposition the game gives you is that these are the creatures that have corrupted the crystals, and they need to be beaten to purify the crystals. The crystals are like a force of nature, or they control the forces of nature. And when they're corrupted, you need to beat the fiends to be able to purify the crystals. Because as they are, they're causing pretty much constant natural disasters. Like, the water crystal being corrupted causes tidal waves. The fire crystal causes erupting volcanoes, and so on. Beating the fiends allows you to purify the crystals so that everything acts as it should be.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what the four heroes, what they were, or what they are. They're prophesized to be the four heroes of, what was it, the four heroes of light. They are trying to drive out the darkness of the, you know, the world. And I guess you could say that the fiends are that darkness. Yeah, I mean, anything else to that story?
If I'm being honest with you, I feel like we've put more words into how we interpret the story then was written in the game's script. So, yeah. Again, not a bad thing. It's fine, actually. It makes it a fun game to just jump into and play. It's just, I try to be funny. So, let's move on.
All right, good. Let's talk about it. Let's switch over to gameplay. So, it is a kind of like a pixel, I don't know what the name of that would be. What is the name of like that type of game? Like that camp, like type of game style where it's like it is turn based, but like NES, GBA.
Do you mean like 16-bit?
Yes. Is it 16 or is it 8?
I'm pretty sure it's 16. It was released on the NES, right?
Yes.
So it might have been
options in there.
The version we played would have been a remaster of the 16-bit version.
Yeah, so what did you play it on?
I played the game digitally on PlayStation 5.
Okay, yeah, I actually bought the collector's edition of Final Fantasies 1 through 6, which are called the Pixel Remaster, and I played it on the Switch. Ironically, I don't actually use my Switch that much, but yeah, I actually had fun playing it on the Switch. But yeah, the gameplay is your typical like NES style game, kind of walk around. Something I thought was pretty interesting was, this was around the same time that Zelda had came out. What was it? Zelda, The Legacy of Link? I don't remember the name of it. So yeah, it came out a little bit, a few years after the Legacy of Zelda, which came out on the NES, and I think it was their way of saying, like, hey, we're gonna kill the Zelda series. Did you ever go to that? It was like an area, like an elf area, where there was pretty much everybody, like all the NPCs were elves.
Let me tell you, John, I do not remember.
So there's like a place, I want to say it's maybe around where you fight Astos. I think that's how you say his name, the Dark Elf. And there's a village full of these elves that looks very similar to Link. And then, ironically enough, there is a tombstone. It'll actually say, here lies Link. Or it might even say RIP Link. I don't remember which. And I actually Googled that, and it seemed like that was like a little jab at Nintendo. Who made Link? Who made?
Nintendo.
Nintendo, yeah. Yeah, it seemed like it was a jab at them, basically saying, like, hey, yeah, like, our game's going to kill the series of Legend of Zelda. As we see that both series did end up growing. They didn't kill each other. They're, you know, you still got your Zelda games coming out, and you have Final Fantasy just came out with, what, 16?
16 is the latest numbered entry, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I think I'm getting off topic here. But yeah, gameplay, it is a turn-based RPG, and it's, yeah, you just kind of take your turn, and the bosses take their turns. I would say that if I did play this on the NES, I don't know if I would enjoy the speed of the game. The battles kind of drag on for no reason. If I was playing on the original, having played the remastered versions, it has the kind of a speed up version, so it kind of speeds the game up. But yeah, the battles just take a long time, and I don't know. You got anything about that?
I think I agree. I'm not sure. I think the battles kind of went slower, but not enough to where it would have bothered me if I didn't have the speed up function. But that's it.
Yeah. So did it bother you any? Like, did any parts of the gameplay bother you, or were the things that you could say that you liked or you didn't like?
Yeah, I think it's right after you clear the first crystal. You have to go into this underground area. It's like a cave. If I remember right, you gotta fall like in a hole on the world map to get to it. And the enemies have a nice spike in levels, which is fine, normal for an RPG. But it seems like 99% of the world population in the game at that point has one goal in their life, and it is to inflict the poison status on you and your entire party.
What do you mean?
I mean that they inflict poison status on you and your entire party.
Yeah.
All the time. Non-stop. You're out of antidotes.
I do remember that, actually. Yeah, at that point in the game, you haven't really developed your magic yet, so you don't have, so like your white mage, if you have one, because you might not even have one, so you might be relying on your antidotes, and
yeah, three casts of poison is not going to get you through that cave.
Yeah, I would say, I honestly don't think I had any issues with that, because I did kind of carry a lot of antidotes, but it was for that reason why I carried those antidotes. Yeah, because It does seem like everything wants to just poison you. Which, actually, you know, now think about it, since we're on the subject about, you know, mages and, you know, white mages, what was your party made of?
My party was a warrior, thief, black mage, and white mage. And if I could go back, I wouldn't use the thief. It was useless, and it sucks.
Now, I will say I wanted to do, like, a blind playthrough. I did kind of get some tips on who I should have in my party to start off. So I did do a little bit of like online research. I wanted to be completely blind, but I didn't want to like screw myself over by having, you know, a team that I didn't like. And yeah, some people, that's what I did see. I said the thief didn't, it seemed like the thief, or a lot of people said that the thief doesn't really help you out too much. I don't know if it helps you out later on in the series, but
that's a nice way to say it sucks, people.
But my party, I would say I had was two, are they? They're called warriors, right?
Yes. Yeah. All fighters, I think.
Yeah. So I had two. No, no. The ones with the swords.
Yeah.
Fighters. I think there was fighters and and Warriors.
No, yeah, it was Fighters. No, yeah, it was Warriors. You can cut that in.
Okay. Yeah, so I had two Warriors, and I had a Red Mage and a White Mage. I knew I needed the White Mage just from playing, you know, other RPGs and realizing you're going to need someone to heal you. Shout out to Donald Duck from Kingdom Hearts. He never heals you. And then my Red Mage, I wanted someone who had the dark, like, what are they called? Black magic spells, and someone who could also fight. And I believe, yeah, then there's like a couple, there's like some other like support spells that you can also get. My Red Mage, I would say, is probably outclassed towards the end of the game. Without going into detail, your teams do have the option, or do have the ability, to eventually kind of like level up your power, or your, what do you call those? Your team does like level up. And my Red Mage, I don't know. I kind of wish I had a Black Mage, because I didn't have access to like the high end like magic spells.
I will say having a Black Mage and a White Mage isn't as detrimental in this game as it is in later ones. Because this is my first time playing Final Fantasy 1, and I had before, years ago, played Final Fantasy 3, who had a similar class system. And if you chose a mage character or a mage job for that character, they were useless for anything but casting spells. In Final Fantasy 1, they're a little bit stronger, so they can still do physical attacks and do decent damage. So I would say it is better to use a Black Mage over a Red Mage. So you got the high level spells and you can still physically attack. Plus the Black Mage, going back to how freaking useless the Thief is, ends up with much more HP and damage output physically than the Thief. As long as you don't choose the Thief is the moral of the story, you're fine in this game.
Yeah, I mean, and if you wanted to run with two Warriors, hey, that's a good idea. Because I would honestly say that my Warriors were my heavy hitters. My White Mage was my healer. My Red Mage was kind of like my in between for my spells.
What about for buffs? Did he have any buffing spells or debuffing spells?
I would say that I honestly don't think I did have some. My Red Mage could do like haste, slow. You know, had some of the time magic. I feel like I don't think I relied on any of my like buffs. Or even debuffs.
Now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure the Black Mage had access to slow and haste and all that anyway.
Yeah, like, well, you definitely did, because yeah, it was like the Black Magic, I guess, and yeah, your Black Mage has access to all of that, whereas the Red Mage only gets up to like, I think, like level 8, because there's different types of spell classes Red Mage is overall, Red Mage is good. Late game, Red Mage is okay. Did you you talk about buffs. Like, what? I don't think I've ever used, I don't think I used any buffs throughout my entire playthrough. Maybe a few times, but I don't remember ever using any buffs. What about you? Did you have any of that?
Aside from, I know I've used slow, but that's a debuff. I think I used haste when fighting the final boss. But other than that, I'd have to play again. It's been a few weeks since we finished the game. I don't think there was anything yet like shell or protect. I'm pretty sure that came later.
There was. I do remember having that, and that's actually I believe my White Mage had access to those things.
Okay.
And I, now that you mentioned that, I did use protect and I did use shell.
Oh yeah, there was. I remember using them.
Yeah, I used those at the. I think I used them on the final boss.
You use everything on the final boss.
Yes, that's a good point. There's like a huge difficulty like spike between the game, like the regular, like the core game, and like the final boss.
I'm not gonna lie, I went into that final boss fight cocky as hell, because I was massively overleveled to where you were supposed to be at that point in the game. Because for anyone who doesn't know, in the original game, it had a level cap of 50. In the remastered version, the Pixel Remaster, which is what we both replayed, the level cap was doubled to 100. Going into the final boss fight, I was between level 67 and 70, so I was like, there's no way I'm going to lose. After I got humbled, I started throwing everything I had at the guy, and I got frustrated.
Yeah, I had... What did I do? I had to resort to Google because I was not over leveled. I was probably on par with the games, like where you're supposed to be. I don't remember my exact level, but I definitely went to that fight being like, okay, it's gonna be like the rest of the game. And no, he was. I definitely was struggling. I got a couple game overs, and then I eventually was like, I need help. I'm gonna go online, and I'm going to find out some strategies. I eventually ended up just kind of like getting a strategy together, which basically was just it made the fight. there was like a strategy that involved me having to buff one of my warriors. Well, I guess at that point they were called a swordsman, I think is what they're called later on. Spoiler, they changed, but I ended up having to cast some spells to buff him, and I had to just basically keep one person alive, buff my warrior, and then just kind of keep doing that loop, keeping one person alive, buffing the warrior, and then just keep on hitting the boss until I beat him. I straight up lost. I lost a lot. that was really hard.
Towards the end of the fight, I pretty much did the same thing. If I remember right, my Black Mage had some spells, or I forget if it was a spell or equipment, that would negate an elemental spell that the boss would throw, so he would live. And it just basically came down to my warrior would attack, my thief would defend and stay out of everyone else's way. My Black Mage would cast haste or slow or whatever magic dampening spell, if I'm not wrong about it being into the game. And my White Mage would heal until they ran out of casts, and then they would start throwing items. And that's pretty much it. You brute force the final boss that way.
And we do got to keep it a little spoiler free. So I think we could probably move on to the soundtracks and like the overall like video game sounds. What's your take on that? Before you even answer that, I thought about it. Did you play it with the remastered sound? Because I know you're playing the remastered version. Did you play it with the remastered sound, or did you play it with the original sound?
Probably remastered, because I didn't mess with the settings, and I'm sure it probably defaulted on the remastered.
Yeah, it actually does, and I'll go into that a little bit later. But yeah, go ahead and give me your take now.
I do this with most games. I don't, unless it really jumps out at me, I don't tend to pay attention to a soundtrack much. So I can't even really recall even a single track from the game, which doesn't mean that the soundtrack was bad. It means that I have ADHD and I didn't take my pill this morning.
What about the water level? You've had to pay attention to that level.
I don't remember.
I will say that I
can think of Final Fantasy III's dungeon music right now, but it's only because I played that game for like 1,000 hours as a kid. I played this one time so far. And I cannot remember any of the tracks.
All right. Well, I will say that the water levels, I don't remember, like, the water temple, I think it's what it's called. That's probably, like, my favorite song in the game. I listened to it on the remastered version of it, and I listened to the original NES, like, version of it. And it sounds good both ways. Okay. So, it wasn't really memorable for you. Tell me about what about the battle music? You've heard that. You heard it a lot. I know you heard that music.
The battle music's just iconic. I mean, for what reason? Because I'm in my 30s and I grew up hearing it, whether I played the game or not. Somebody else was, and you always hear about it. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's an early game, so it's, you know, drums and bass. But it's catchy. It's Final Fantasy. You hear that and you feel like, okay, I'm playing an RPG.
Because I believe, I mean, oh, I wish that you would have paid more attention to the music, because it was good. I really liked it. Especially, you know, I'm not even attempted to say the name again, but the composer's music is like, you could tell that it was definitely composed by a professional.
I don't doubt it. I'm just a degenerate who didn't pay any attention.
What about the sound? Like, any sound effects, anything that jumped out to you?
As dated as they sounded, even in the remaster, I did like the sound effects for especially the black magic. Just, like, if you use a high-level fire spell, or, like, quake, or meteor, it just had that, like, 16-bit crunchy sound to it.
I understand, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess given its time, there's not a whole lot that we can really say, like, speak on. I just really like the music. Every level that I went to, I definitely switched it to the original, like, soundtrack. Just, I can, like, see, like, you know, have the differences between the two. And, yeah, I liked it. I liked it. But I'm one who... I really listen to, like, the soundtracks.
Let me put it this way. None of the game's soundtrack jumps out at me. But that's also a good thing because it means none of it was bad either. Yeah. Like, if one jumped out at me if it was bad enough to, it would have had to be, like, terrible. Like, really, really bad. So, it was probably pretty good. As you can tell, I'm very experienced in talking about my viewpoints of games.
Yes, we are. We've been playing them all our lives, so, I mean, we're kind of a professional, I guess. Definitely good at reviewing, so... Which leads me to, what are your final thoughts on this game? I can talk about the legacy. Like I mentioned before, it's Final Fantasy. It's one of the most well-known, like, games of all time. Even if you don't play video games, even if you do play some, you've heard of Final Fantasy. There's no way around it. And this, I would say, this is the start. I think it was a pretty decent game overall. The story, it is pretty bare bones, but I did allude to it, you know, earlier, that there is a prequel, sequel, spinoff of sorts. You want to tell us about that? I know you played it. I beat it, but I know you beat it before me. And What do you got to say about that particular game? What is the name of the game? I forgot.
The game is Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins. It's hard to talk about without getting into spoiler territory as far as where how the story ties into the first game. I guess kind of even that it does is already a spoiler. All I can really tell you is I do like what it adds to the original game, and I think it gives it more depth. It's definitely worth a play if anyone is a fan of the series. Even if you're not a Final Fantasy fan and you're looking for something to play with a group of friends, or you like looter type games, it's worth your time.
Yeah. All right. Well, I would say that, you know, given Square and all of its games, this game has definitely changed the way games in general are made, specifically JRPGs. But how does it hold up today? It's time to get off the game. And you have to kind of choose if you're going to save this game or if you're just going to turn it off and forget about it. Justin, let's hear your opinion first.
I know it sounded like I was crapping on the game pretty hard at a lot of parts, but it's really not how I meant it. This game is definitely a save for me. It's a classic. I'm glad I played it. I plan on playing it again at some point. It led to so many other great things. One of the best video game franchises that exists today. It's a definite save for me.
Okay, so my take on this is, for what it was at its time, definitely I would say the story is pretty good, seeing as stories probably weren't, you know, the selling point of games at the time. So it's understandable in why it does kind of lack in story. And I can't say that I can't add Stranger of Paradise, you know, to add more depth to the story. I can't really add that to this because this is its own standalone game. It's Final Fantasy. It's the original. And I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of the story being so, you know, minor. Gameplay, if you're not playing the remastered and having to deal with, like, the quality of life changes from it, I would say that the gameplay might be a little archaic and dated. I mean, if we're going off the remastered, then yeah, the remastered would make it good, but I'm gonna assume that we're talking about the original. Same with the sound. Sound, I love it. Sounds great. Music's good. I like it overall. But I guess I gotta decide if I want to save it or kind of put it away and forget about it. And I'm gonna go into this without having the nostalgia for Final Fantasy as a whole. And I'm going to say, given its shortfalls, I can look past a lot of that because a lot of other stuff is good in the game. like I did have fun with it, and I would honestly recommend it to anybody. So despite having the shortfalls, I would say that the game to me is worth being saved. So, I mean, you said it, I said it, we both have to agree. And it sounds like Final Fantasy 1 for the NES, or I guess the remastered version, is saved. So, we don't really have a catchphrase yet, but it is saved. So,
in slot 1.
Yeah, we are putting it on the memory card, and it's staying there. So, we're going to go ahead and we're going to move on to our next game. We got to have more than one episode, I would guess, even if we don't have too many people listening. We got to move on to the next episode. And Justin, you're up. What game are you going to pick for us to play next?
Our next game is... it was one of my favorites growing up. I played it all the time. It was released in December of 97 for the PlayStation 1. And it is called Mega Man Legends.
Ooh. I think I've played one Mega Man game my whole life, actually. So,
had I known that when we met, we would not be friends today.
And I think when we met, I hadn't even played a Mega Man game at that point in time. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I'm curious to see what Mega Man has to offer, because the one I played, I think I played it for the GameCube, and it was okay.
Well, there's an important thing to know, John, and that's when it comes to Mega Man, if you've played one, you've not even scratched the surface of any of the others.
Well, I am very excited to try to play this, you know, play this game. All right. Listen to us next time as we explore, or re-explore, in Justin's case, Mega Man Legends. We have been your hosts, John and
Justin.
And until next time, this has been Save Game Chronicles. Cue the outro music.